All right, I'd like to get things rolling again. If y'all could take your seats, I'd like to get things rolling again. We just had our drawing for our last door prize, which is a set of Skull Candy AirPods. The winner is Casey from Finning. Is Casey still in the room? Going once, going twice. All right, draw another one. Oh, how about Chris Atkins from Matrix? Can one of the Matrix guys come up here? Anybody? Bueller?
Oh, somebody's coming.
Okay. Can you give that to Chris? Thank you. All right, let's get going with the final session here. Our next speaker is Kurt Petrosky. He's the founder and executive chairman of Symbiotic Wear. In 2008, Kurt co-founded Symbiotic Wear and cultivated the idea of creating an open wireless platform to facilitate connectivity to mobile assets, enable real-time data flow, and the reporting of safety, production, and maintenance information for better decision making. Symbiotic Wear innovations have been commercialized in Canada, the US, and Latin America directly and through a growing ecosystem of high profile global partners. How about a warm welcome for Kurt?
Pleasure to be here this afternoon, and if there's any runners out there, this feels like the last 4 miles in a marathon where you either hit a wall or you come back with some energy, so I'll try to keep this energy going a little bit. I won't make it interactive, but I may ask a few questions along the way just to keep people on their toes. I'm Kurt Petrosky, founder of Symbiotic Wear. I was supposed to co-present this with J.C. Belair from Agnico Eagle, who I just found out yesterday has a fear of flying. So he's not here. We did our best. We've integrated him into the presentation. So there's three videos with him speaking on behalf. It's a corporate-produced presentation with the permissions from Agnico Eagle. But if you may let me, I'm going to give you the backstory. A little bit about where digitalization started from, if you guys are okay with that. And this goes like way back years, like almost 30 years ago when I got started. So really quickly, our presentation is about asset connectivity and data access. Detour Lake Mine, which has a personal connection to me as well, being from Northern Ontario. And this is a world-class asset really in our backyard. Up in Northern Ontario. I got started in 1996, and I was really a prospector, claim staker, geophysics work, and there was one key technology that came available in 1996 that made a big transition in our industry. Does anybody know what happened in 96, roughly? So, you got it. So in 1996, the US government released GPS availability for civilian use. So what that meant was really the very first time that commercial applications, such as at that time was more analog technology, could connect to get a precise location of an asset. What that means for early stage exploration was really differential GPS, base station, satellite, and then the ability to roam around and actually start collecting data. So from a business perspective, we could do surveys for magnetometer survey, IP surveys, do grids, and all of a sudden I can just walk. So we saved money and time by being able to implement GPS back then. So that was really the first connectivity piece for our industry back in 96. Fast forward 1998 and the connection to Detour. 98, I was doing a contract up in northwestern Ontario, 120 kilometers of grid had to be surveyed in. And if you remember 98, anybody know what happened in the mining industry in 98? A couple of big events happened. I'll help you. In 1998, we had something called the Briex scandal. So Briex scandal was some salting of some assays in Thailand or Asia area. And as a result, it spooked investors. So no money being dumped into exploration services or exploration. The other big event in 98 was the Asian flu. The Asian flu, which was really the yen, dropped in its value by 30-40%, which sent shockwaves across the industry. And as a result, what happened to gold? Gold went down to 260. From a macro level, I won't give you too much on this, but back then currency was actually pegged to gold, which actually mattered. Today it's fiat currency, not back to gold, so we got a lot of engineering going on. But anyways, the point I'm trying to make is gold tanked, and you know, for a lot of us, we found ourselves, what the hell are we going to do? So I had friends that were prospectors, and they were prospecting and claim staking a set of area that was next to Detour's existing operation. And they staked that land. I was asked to go, and I was like, no, I'm done. I'm going back to school. I'm doing my master's, sold my equipment. Should have went. But anyways, they sold those claims to Palangio. And Palangio then sold them, I think, to Franco Nevada. And then it went to Detour, Kirkland Lake Gold, and now you have the Agnico Eagle asset. They made millions, and they went off and had a pretty good life. I went back to school, did my master's. Coming out of that, so that was an experience. I took a contract with the computer science department at Laurentian University, a university that's known for mining. In computer science in the day, we're talking now about embedded systems, more like Java, and open systems like Linux, and all that didn't really exist before. We had Access databases, we had Microsoft, really clunky old data. So through those years there at the university, we came up with this concept in 2008, which was the genesis of Symboticware, which was to create an open platform using embedded systems and technology. And we did our first deployment on Baffin Island. Baffin Island was about creating the system that could hibernate, take a reading of weather station data, send it over satellite, which is now LEO, low Earth orbiting satellites, and get that data integrated. So that was our genesis. From there, we started working with mining operations underground. And here's the next question for you. In early 2000s, what was the method of connectivity underground?
Leaky wire coax.
Yeah, leaky feeder, leaky wire coax. So that was, again, Motorola system, 8 bands for voice, 4 bands for channels for data, very, very limited. And then all of a sudden, a company called Cisco, which everybody knows today, but at the time, wanted to look at how do I take my carpeted Wi-Fi and ruggedize them and make them available for mining. So they started creating these ad hoc networks underground, and we developed store and forward patents on how to actually collect data real time, buffer, hold on to it, Wi-Fi access, and then off it went. And at the time, we were integrating into OT systems, so things like OSI Soft Pi, which is now Aviva. But everything was still premise. So the next big evolution, so after Wi-Fi, we had private LTE, LTE, and now more satellite. The next biggest thing from a data perspective was data in the cloud. And there's been a lot of resistance in the industry from an OT perspective of cloud data versus premise data. And I think we are overcoming some of those challenges because now you can create digital systems that are truly scalable. From a vendor perspective, it's really hard to do the ones and twosies here and there from a prem side. It's hard to scale that. But I think now OEMs and technology providers can really harness how to scale technology and get digital into the mining industry. Sorry, that was a long backstory. I hope you didn't mind that. So I can talk about some other things here. Green button. There we go. So there's a few macro level themes that we need to cover from an industry perspective. From a GHG perspective, the annual productions from usually mostly heavy equipment, mining equipment, equals about 1.1 gigatons of CO2e, so carbon dioxide equivalents. Does anybody know what the world production was in 2022? Just as a, even as a percentage, what do you think this percentage might be of the world? So I know it's really hard to measure something like that, but so it's 58 gigatons globally GHG emissions. So our industry, just from mobile assets, is roughly just shy of 2% of that, which sounds about right. The other factor is we've seen yesterday EV adoption and the intensity and the critical mineral strategy that was developed both in the US and Canada, how we are starting to nationalize a lot of those assets. There's also been a supply, lack of supply because of COVID and Russia going, let's call it offline, limited availability there. The perfect storm is occurring in terms of the intensity is going to come back for mining. What that result is going to be actually is greater GHG emissions initially. There's going to be a bloat of that, and then as we begin to adopt more electrification, we should see it decline. Okay? And the last thing we're going to touch on our case study is a little bit of an element of safety. There was a good presentation earlier, so I won't get too much detail into that. In terms of maintenance costs, 50% of the maintenance costs are attributed to mobile assets. Downtime, there's different studies for downtime. We took an overall average, and you know, you can go from gold mining to salt mining. I mean, it's a total different ballgame. But we used an average of $130,000 downtime plus maintenance costs, etc. In terms of digitalization and mining, I think we've seen enough in the last decade that the momentum is finally building. Even in a down cycle, we're getting smart enough to invest in the digital side on the down to be prepared for the upswing. So a lot of organizations are reporting that their KPIs are working and seeing actual improvements in the organizations, which is great. Also from management level, executive, president, CEOs, have been born really into an automation period where now they are at the decision-making side where it's all part of the corporate strategy to include digitalization. So if you look at the demographic trends of those decision-makers, we've grown up in that environment. So I think the adoption is actually helping from a top-down as well as a bottom-up. Our employees are asking for that. The other challenge from a connectivity, remote locations, we're blessed in Sudbury, Northern Ontario, Timmins, 20-minute drive to the assets. That's not always the case. So a lot of the places are remote. And I believe the number is roughly 75% of the world is still not connected. So as we look further and further for assets, how do we get connectivity? It can't all be addressed with private LTE. The costs are just exorbitant. And then, of course, it's great to see multiple OEMs pushing the envelope with innovation. We've seen the diesel innovation from tier one engines to tier four, the accessibility, the standards groups, and now we're going to move into the electric world. What are the standards? What's accessibility going to look like? How do we collect that data? So your challenges are going to be, they've been met, and now we're going to be introduced to new challenges we don't know. So very quickly, on Detour Lake Mine, sorry, I'm just going to grab a drink. It's already been described today in terms of the scope of this this operation, but from a gasoline or diesel perspective, there's roughly 80 million liters consumed by the fleet. Using a calculator, that amounts to about 216,000 tons of CO2e. Relative to the rest of the mining industry, that represents 0.02%. So it's not that significant, but significant enough when you look at the footprint that this one operation alone has. In terms of their infrastructure, they made a big investment. This was back in the Kirkland Gold prior to the acquisition. Rogers Telecommunications, Rogers, people probably hear about it out west from the Shaw acquisition. They were one of the early companies to push it's Ericsson Technology, but LTE. But I think the overall investment was roughly $12 million to put in a private LTE network to support connectivity. They also have agent systems in place. They have other types of means as well. Doesn't cover all the mine. There are still a lot of peripheral areas as well that need to be connected. So again, it's a remote location, and it's beyond the reach of traditional public LTE providers. Sparse territory, and they have a mixed fleet. So that's kind of the context of Detour. So the solution that, from a Symbotic-ware perspective, we are both hardware as well as a software platform company. Our core device, which is now moving into our fifth generation, we started this was a Symbot. It started as a Linux-based piece of hardware that's got smaller and more powerful over the years. We also have light-duty assets that are, thank you very much. I was going to grab that, but anyway, it's a black box system that gets installed into trucks. In terms of connectivity, we talked about private LTE, so really this whole area where the trucks operate is pretty well lit up. We also have a diagnostic AI software that combs through all old service orders. This could be a decade's worth of service orders that would take manually thousands of hours to go through. This system actually goes through it, and it's able to identify components, cost, mean time between failures, all the statistics that you want to know on these components before you've been putting in a system in place. So that's part of the solution. Then the data gets delivered into Foresight AI, which is a cloud-based solution, and the back end is AWS. And we have connections into third-party applications through our API, such as Schneider Electric or Aviva, Pi, etc. And we'll start with the first use case. Hopefully I can advance this.
The collaboration between Symbotic-ware and Detour Lake Mine started with the quest for operational excellence.
We're using that to understand things like fuel usage within the operation and map out where we're using our fuel and how we're using it, how much we're using it, and how we can improve productivity with that. We've designed a dashboard that is going to sit in our control room that allows our dispatchers to action when we're idling trucks. So if we're running a truck and we forgot to turn it off, we need to turn that off. And so our dispatchers make the right calls and turn those trucks off.
That was a really exciting video. I mean, we had drones in there to produce that, and we had some pretty close calls with the drones, but it's amazing the footage that we were able to capture in November with the rains that had happened. It just brought out the rock and everything else. In terms of what we have delivered so far in saving fuel, so we started this project, originally it started back in 2017, back when it was just Detour, and we were collecting data off the shovels. And then it migrated over to Kirkland Gold and Agnico Eagle. This particular project with JC was around saving fuel. So again, their annual consumption was about 80 million liters, which has an approximate cost of about $115 million. And I think we were calculating at about $1.50 a liter. The haul trucks, I'm just put an average of 350 liters per hour. Sometimes they can go up to 600, sometimes they're just idling. So the objective here was a fuel reduction, fuel consumption, initial goal of 2% of the total. With a stretch goal between 5% and 10%. So it was really good to see your presentation this morning, Paul and Josh, and just to see what you're working on the roadside. These projects are not combined yet, but I think the long-term goal is now to start looking at the speed and the load weights as well. So really the impact initially is to look at some of the idling. Some of it has to idle. We're talking about cold weather conditions. We're talking about performance of the vehicle and startup and so on. But really looking at the flow of the trucks. So greater speeding control, I would say control either for increasing speed or decreasing speed, trying to find that optimal side. And we saw the presentation this morning was about increasing by 2 kilometers per hour. So our role in this project really is some of the insights in terms of the operator's activity, as well as haulage and road conditions, and providing the real-time data access to not just fuel but to other maintenance-related data. Safe operating environment.
The benefits of Foresight AI span across operational priorities of Agnico Eagle.
Safe, we had a problem, and that problem was monitoring the amount of gases within the column so that we could change seals on a timely manner and protect our employees. Symbotico was able to install a very specific sensor on their unit to help us monitor that and start actioning. We're currently in the phase of actioning that and making sure that all of our pads are working for us.
So there was an element of safety for this project as well. The issue was around CO levels within the cab. Keep in mind, in a cold environment down in the pit, if you have such a cold above, a lot of the whatever the exhaust and all that gets suppressed and it stays down in that pit. So some operators were indicating that there's possibility of CO in the cab, so we implemented CO monitoring systems direct inside the cab and also tied that back to some of the other data that we report on. Currently the data reporting is in a control room setting. It is not in front of the operator at this point, so there's no auditory alarms being raised or false negatives, so we're still going through some of that data right now. Okay. And the last one, maintenance.
Symbotico introduced Detour Lake Mine to Squares, our unique diagnostic AI software that uses natural language processing to automatically convert historical maintenance logs into data, so you know exactly which components fail and when the vehicle will require maintenance.
Is more complex data, we can now run through the Squares application and really bin or sort through that data very quickly and really help us understand where our problems are going, help us drive decision making very quickly.
Like about Squares, there's no hardware required for this. It is really just mining through old data. This was really unstructured data, turning it into structured data so that we can start provide some analysis and using early stage AI on historical data. Again, it's unstructured, high volumes of data, and it's prone to a lot of errors. We have a lot of Fringlish at site. It's between French and English, and its job is to really pick out and identify what those problem areas are and provide some better insights. Here's just a rough example. You probably can't see it all from back there. We've done our best to block out any site information, but the point here is there's different ways in the description that we're talking about front tire replacements. Okay, so we're able to mine through that and then from there indicate what the total cost of those and get into life cycle analysis as well, which should be great to talk to the Cal Tire fellow Mark that presented earlier as well. There it is. Okay. Aggregating all this data now and bringing it into something that Symbotico wants to try to lead the charge in the industry is to really, we have large data sets that we're starting to collect, and we want to really build here a benchmarking tool, an indexing tool that is not just site specific but could be industry specific. So this is our starting point for this, where the data is coming in, we can sanitize that data and start to benchmark against other sites, other customers and so on, different vehicle types. Okay, so we can demo that for you as well at the back, but this is a starting point for creating an industry index. And our last part, which we are very excited about, so started the journey with geostationary satellites back in 1996. These are ones that are way, way out there, power hungry to connect. the evolution of Symbotic Wear almost goes full circle. We announced a partnership with SpaceX, specifically the Swarm division, to bring greater connectivity throughout the world in those non-connected areas. The current satellites that are in deployment have traditionally been very expensive, $2 a kilobyte, not a lot of data availability. Swarm SpaceX is disrupting the market. They're changing that to the point where data rates will be cheaper than cell phone providers. And the technology that they are promising within their next version that they're sending out using a different technology will have speeds up to 300 megabits per second by a satellite. So what that means is the cost to implement private LTE and some of those factors that make starting projects difficult, you can get started and then backfill your infrastructure based on more robust private LTE and so on. But this allows you to connect any of your assets anywhere in the world over one common platform. So the discussion with JC and Agnico Eagle, some of the other benefits here is cybersecurity and network management. So a lot of contractors that go on site for them have to connect to their network, and that makes a nightmare for them to manage, not just contractors, people coming back and forth and so on. So to create another network outside of that that keeps them away from the OT system to more of an open network for contractors and other people coming on site, I think truly is a game changer for the industry. We're so proud to be part of that enabling technology, as we have always been at the very forefront. So I'm very excited for what we have to offer the mining industry into the future. Thank you.
Do you have any questions? Kirk, when you look towards the future, what gets you most excited about what you're seeing happening?
I believe it's the rate of adoption, and that adoption comes from a few things. Adoption would be companies specifying and putting money aside for future digitalization. So from a tech company perspective, you know, that adoption curve and that chasm, as everybody's heard about in various books, it's real. So the quicker that we can show time to value and having budgets to do that, but secondly is the connectivity piece, which is a challenge. The parts that I'm fearful would be, just to throw this on the other side, is I think we go ebb and flow in terms of data access. As I mentioned this earlier, diesel, you know, tier 1, 2, 3, 4. I think the industry saturated. We understand how to collect that data. As we move towards electrification, I wonder how much of that is going to be held close because of the investments that the OEMs are making. So how do we continue to provide value for the rest of the operations outside of their specific IP? And I think as an industry, we need to work together to make sure that mining companies can still get the data they require for productivity, proper maintenance, and so on.
Cool. All right. Okay. Very good. Any other questions?
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.